I've spoken before about the phenomenal performance of the Buy's off-plan market in 2023, which has led to the announcement of some unique new projects and has brought several boutique developers into the market. With such immense growth, you need a guide to some of the most notable projects that are coming up, and the minds behind them. My name is Arpan Ghosh, and your guide is The Luxury Podcast. Dubai real estate recently hit a 10-year high for both transaction volume and property values, with a 22% increase in Q3 of this year from the same period in 2022. Over 70% of all current transactions are off-plan, demonstrating the confidence that investors have in the city's future and highlighting the buoyant state of the city's present. The dynamic levels of activity in the off-plan sector have brought several new players into the game, launching high-profile projects that add more diversity to the Buy's residential offering and create a healthy sense of competition. To discuss that in more detail, I'm joined by Omar Gull, managing partner at Amis Properties, one of the new players in the market this year, and developer behind the stunning Woodland Residences. Welcome to the show, Omar. It is wonderful having you on.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure.
So, Omar, the Woodland Residences, that is essentially your flagship project in Dubai. You're working in collaboration with Laminem to bring Automobili, Lamborghini surfaces into the villas as well. Tell me a bit more about this project and how that collaboration came about.
It's my first project after when I began my entrepreneurial journey.
Right.
I would call it flagship because it's the only one, and I hope I have bigger, better projects in the future to do.
Oh, definitely.
It's a community within Medan of 30 villas,
mm-hmm.
and we wanted to steer away from the traditional branded residences where brand wasn't essentially providing value to the consumer.
Okay.
So each of these villas actually have Automobili Lamborghini surfaces, which actually means the wall cladding and the tiles,
mm-hmm.
all over the villa. So you don't have to say it's Lamborghini. People will see it's a Lamborghini when they enter inside your house.
Right.
Other than that, we have other hygiene amenities, including a 100-meter swimmable, temperature-controlled water body.
Okay.
Right. And we've done good with design. I'm happy with how the product has shaped. We are getting good response so far. And we are about to launch in about 2 weeks.
Okay, so official launch is in about 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Great. What made you pick Medan? Because it's a bit of an emerging community at the moment, isn't it?
It's a bit of both. A portion of Medan, which is District 1,
right.
is a well-established community within Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in District 11, which is emerging.
Right.
But it's still very close to downtown. So probably downtown is the center of Dubai, and it's the closest villa community to downtown Dubai.
Ah, right.
Yeah, so it'll always remain that. The location is not going to change. So
right.
I really think from villa point of view, in general, Mohammed bin Rashid City is the best micro market in Dubai for low-rise development.
Oh, yeah. That's quite a prime location, and especially in such proximity to downtown, living in a fairly low-density villa community. That's fantastic. Now, Omar, you are... I don't want to use the word veteran, but I suppose you've been around in the property market for a while. You've worked previously with Emaar and with Damac as well. So tell me a bit about your property journey in Dubai.
I actually started my first job with a real estate in a consulting firm called JLL, and it's been real estate ever since.
Right.
Damac was a great learning experience. I was managing international sales and marketing,
mm-hmm.
contributing about 35% of their business. And then Emaar, I first joined Emaar International. I was the head of sales and marketing for their international portfolio.
Okay.
Then I took over as the general manager for their Saudi business. And then I became the head of sales of Emaar Dubai.
Right.
And then I thought, okay, I'm a 31-year-old head of sales. I can't stop my career right here. And then the idea of entrepreneurship and development started kicking in. And that's how it all began.
And what made you finally take the leap now? I think you're a managing partner with Amis Properties, of course, who are doing the Woodland Residences. Mm-hmm. You've also started your own development firm, Clédor. What made you decide finally that, now is the time? to do this?
I saw there's a big gap within the market of what consumers really want, and there are a handful of developers who are actually servicing that demand. Everybody's right. producing mass units. They don't keep consumer and design thinking in mind, and that's why some of the smaller developers recently in the past command premium over the giants. So I don't want to name any, but then there are a handful which are actually selling at a given micro market twice as much as the property giants within the market.
Right.
So clearly there's a demand for not a commercial unit, but a house, a home, an end user unit with high-end specifications. The trend for villas especially was the moment you buy a villa, the first thing you do is you rip it apart, you redo the interiors, and then you spend time and money and all the efforts to redo it the way you want it to.
Right.
So clearly somebody had to take up the step and say, no, you don't have to redo it. We'll give you a villa, a kind of villa which you would like to stay in. And that's the attempt.
Speaking of villas, since we're on the subject, you know, ever since the launch of the first freehold projects like Emirates Hills, Arabian Ranches, all of these about 20-ish years ago, you know, villas, freehold villas in Dubai have been hugely popular. But especially since COVID, we've just seen the graph for property values for transactions just going up at crazy levels. What do you think is really driving the villa market right now?
Your observation is bang on. And what is driving that is the way land is sold within Dubai on a GFA basis.
Okay.
And the cost of construction of apartments is significantly higher than the cost of construction of villas.
Right.
So in any given micro market, so if you check the DLD report right now, the villa or townhouse which they have per square foot price should be about 2,000 dirhams at primary, or anywhere between 2,000 to 2,500. And when you look at the apartments, they are between the same price.
Right.
And you look at District 1, they recently launched District 1 West, which was between 1,500 to, I think, 2,000 dirhams a square foot. And they recently launched apartment complex called Naya within the same community, which was also about 2,000 to 2,200 dirhams a square foot. Huh. And the trend exists everywhere. Even low-cost units like Nashama, it's a similar per square foot price of villa and apartment.
Right.
So this clearly shows a gap in the market, because when you have no... you have less horizontal neighbors, you have no vertical neighbors. There is a price premium attached to it, which Dubai hasn't yet caught up to. So consciously or subconsciously, people do realize that, especially when the ticket size exceeds 2 million, villa gives them more space. They do have to sometimes compromise with the distance. But at the same time, villas, again, they have lower service fee. So from an investor point of view, when your service fee is much lower than the apartment, and in Dubai, about, I don't have the exact numbers, but 2 years ago, about 80% of the people would buy to let.
Right.
So the numbers should be very similar right now. So when you're buying to let and you are not recovering the service fee out of the tenant, so the lower service fee means higher returns.
Right. Right.
These two, and the gap has not yet diminished. So I think villas and even low-rise apartments have a long way to go.
Now, of course, you're at the moment focusing on villas. That is, you know, your main project. Do you think there's any plans for you to eventually expand into apartments as well?
Yeah, I have about, I'll be launching in the next 6 months about 2.5 billion dirham of development so far.
Okay.
Out of which about 1.5 billion is villas. I'll have another villa community coming up very soon, February, March, close to a million square foot. And then I will have about 250 apartments coming over six low-rise towers.
Okay.
Very close to downtown again.
So is that kind of the main focus for you right now, staying close to downtown, or is it just working out that way at the moment?
It's working out that way at the moment. There's shortage of good land at the ticket sizes that a private developer can buy within the market right now.
Right.
But again, Dubai is growing towards south. So I see a lot of opportunity coming towards the south side.
Right.
With the Palm Jabal Ali coming in, Dubai waterfront being developed there. And I've recently heard few of the really big international developers have procured land that side. So I see south of Dubai. It was the premium side of Dubai was always south. Emirates Hills, Palm, and Dubai Marina was south of Dubai. Now we are probably looking at a newer south of Dubai. Newer, better, bigger. And since it's Dubai, it'll be even more magnificent.
Right. I mean, now I think uptown is kind of the big thing that's coming up as a complement to downtown.
Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see how that develops. Speaking of Palm Jebel Ali, do you think that might be something you might explore in the future?
Yes, if finances, there's always a price, opportunity, market condition trade-off. If everything right. matches, that would be somewhere we would definitely be keen on. But I really think that that's an opportunity almost 5 to 7 years from now. So at this right. stage, I don't think for the next 3 to 5 years we would be looking at that side. Not south side, Palm, I mean.
Right, yeah.
But south side, we are currently, I'm looking for more lands around that area in case I can find, because I would try and stick to low-rise development as much as possible, be it apartments or villas.
And are you looking to create kind of low-density communities? Is that the aim, to create something that's a bit more boutique, that's not like thousands and thousands of villas?
See, till the time I come to a stage where I actually could someday become a master developer and develop communities on my own, I'll have to bank on the larger developers here who are developing master communities and selling subplots to private smaller developers.
Right.
But incidentally, Dubai is very well planned. There, other than a marina or downtown, there isn't really much of a high density residential that's coming up, which even if I envisage, even when it's high density, it's still very well planned for
right,
the future.
True. Yeah.
Dubai Creek Harbor would be the closest newest emerging high density area, but there aren't many coming. Everything else is low rise.
Now, of course, you mentioned that a lot of people are moving further south. One of the reasons for that, primarily, if you exclude areas like the Palm and Emirates Hills, is because there are so many more affordable communities that are growing on what used to be the outskirts of Dubai, but what is becoming more central to Dubai. You have places like Town Square, like Arabian Ranches 3. These are areas that aren't quite as prime, and I think they're attracting a lot of people who are maybe feeling priced out of areas like the Dubai Hills Estate, for example. But at the same time, a lot of the new developments that are coming up are marketing themselves as more prime, as geared towards a higher segment of buyer. Do you think there is a bit of a disconnect between what's being marketed and what people, what a majority of people can buy? And how do you position yourself in that space?
I'll have to answer it in two ways.
Mm-hmm.
One is the marketing side of it.
Okay.
Psychologically, nobody wants to buy an affordable home.
Right.
So even if somebody is selling 100,000 dirhams unit, even if that's possible, they will call it luxury, cozy studio or something like that. Because
right.
everybody, when it's one of the most important decisions in life, people, it's the most high ticket decision, at least high involvement decision, at least for, I would say, about 99.9% of the world.
Right.
And people are involved. And to their limit, it's a luxury that they can achieve. They really stretch their budgets, take a 25 years loan to probably try and get something. So from the positioning point of view, developers would always call their units luxury. I don't think any developer would ever say value for money. that I don't see happening for sure.
Of course.
But from the rationale point of view, the logic point of view, Dubai grew in the last 3-4 years faster than majority of the world. So yes, with a huge population influx, certain areas did become out of reach for a typical middle-class managerial family, which is under a $10,000 income. And that's where emerging areas, so most of these emerging areas are coming towards east, where you said, rightly pointed out, Town Square is there, the valley is there. And at the same time, if you see, government is really putting a lot of efforts for connectivity on that side. The blue line of metro, which is just announced, is actually going towards that side.
Right, yeah.
And even before this, when it was Furjan, was one of the areas which was outskirts, it always had a metro line connected to it, which is now with Jabal Ali. As long as transportation and infra is taken care of, people can go far and they should go far. I really think Dubai is underpriced even now, which I said earlier. So even now, there will be more migration, more price increase, if the market continues like this for another 2 years. And that's why it's the right time to buy. But so location, as we all say, location is the key in real estate. We just need to analyze where the city is growing, how it's growing, what the government is doing towards that side, what the private investors are doing towards that side. And I see a lot of growth, more growth than the south, happening towards the east side of Dubai.
Right. And is that a space, well, I'm assuming that would be a space you would also look at exploring, subject to how it's growing?
My next project would be in that area. It is very close to Arabian Ranches 3.
Of course, there is a huge development boom right now. I think in the past, just in the past couple of months, there's been a lot of new projects that have come on, new projects that have been launched. How do you manage to stay afloat amidst, you know, such intense competition?
One thing principally, I know that when your product is good, it's sooner or later consumer understands it. So that's the last of my worry, honestly, from a developer point of view. But I have I've spent enough time in this market to be able to distribute my product to all the brokers over a single day.
Right.
So the distribution, the marketing, promotion aspect of it is not a worry. What my real goal and my real aim is to develop quality products, which consumers should see and want, not something that I'll have to push to the consumer.
Right.
But still talking about the development boom, yes, it's going on, but I really think we are still at the tip of the iceberg. I really think there's a long way to go. Dubai is still a very, very, very young city compared to prime micro markets around the world and in the cities where you don't want to live anymore because of safety and infra and all those problems.
Right.
Dubai is still very, very competitively priced. I don't see anything. I see just the beginning. I see it going way, way, way ahead.
Right. Do you think there's any concerns that there might be too much happening at once, which could affect the balance of the market?
I really think that that's not happening yet. People do keep talking about, but they're not actually checking the number of what is being delivered and the population increase. It's very much in sync.
Right.
In 2018, if you had to check population versus number of units in Dubai, it was 4.5 people per unit. Hong Kong is 2.7, New York is 2.5. So Dubai already has shortage of supply. But yeah, there is an aspect which you have to understand. Some of them are living in Ajman and Sharjah, which further reduces it, residency to units ratio, but it was never an oversupply. We were from 2014 to 2018 in a negative sentimented market, but we were never in an oversupplied market. It was just the sentiment that was wrong. Population to units have been healthy, and even with the launches that are coming up, there are higher ticket size units coming, which is leading to in terms of absolute sales value, which is market is expanding, but the number of units is not really expanding as much as the population is. Population growth is higher than the number of units at the moment.
Right. So there's still plenty of room for new projects to come
in. It's a small economy. It's a small market. We have to reevaluate it every year and look at numbers every year differently. And rather as I actually do it every 3 months. Because it's a small market. A few billion coming into the market, getting into circulatory economy of Dubai are circulated 200 billion times and gets the economy afloat.
Right.
And a few billion leaving would also have a similar impact. They would take hundreds of billions from the circulatory economy.
Right.
So yes, it has to be evaluated every time. But fundamentals of the city are correct. The location is good. The infra is amazing. It's safe. It has everything that everybody wants. The cost of living compared to a London or New York is still not as high. Yeah, there are some things which are expensive, but most of it is still okay. It's still, from tech's point of view, it's still one of the best places, even though corporate tax is introduced. From a personal tax point of view, it's still one of the best places in the world to live in.
Right.
Yeah. So I really think I don't see any concern.
All right. Looking ahead, what do you think, what's your outlook for 2024? And for yourself, what are you most looking forward to?
2024, I'll be launching these projects that I spoke about. So I'll have about 5 to 6 launches in 2024. A lot of work, a lot of learning, a lot of, so I have to make sure that each one of them is delivered properly. So a lot of work goes on to find the best possible consultants, the best engineering firms, the best designers, and get them together to orchestrate the product that we want to produce.
Right. Are you looking at any other branded collaborations?
Yes, Dubai branded collaborations are very well perceived in Dubai.
Right.
So in most cases, there would be some of the other brand with most of the other projects.
What do you think the market's going to look like in the next, let's say, you know, if you're evaluating every 3 months, how does the first quarter of 2024 look?
In my opinion, again, I don't have a research to back me up. I would say it's based on the secondary information. There was a shortage of luxury supply post-COVID. Everybody moved towards the large ticket size units, and Dubai has been known to, there was a recent report published that the highest number of units, about $10 million in the world, were sold in Dubai.
Right. Yeah.
I see that slowing down, but because at the end of the day, there's a finite number of millionaires and billionaires who buy properties more than 10 million. The same time, the demand for upper mid segment would grow really up. That's what I think. Townhouses, smaller units. The rental market right now is really stressed because there is more demand than supply.
Right.
So, and affordable supply, something under $30,000 a year, that needs to come in. So I'll just see a shift of what is going to get produced, but the market is still going to go up.
In terms of property values, as you said, you know, at the upper end, things are probably going to slow down a little bit. But as we move into the slightly more affordable segment, one of the trends that we've noticed is that, you know, areas that were affordable maybe 3 years ago, they're now slipping into the prime segment. Is that something you think will continue to happen? And will that maybe create even more shortage on the affordable side?
Yes, that's what's happening. You actually pointed it out, right? Areas, there were certain portions of Business Bay which were significantly affordable at the moment, and now they're becoming expensive, and they're reaching that segment where they can't be called mid-segment units. They are expensive units. And that's why my observation that the units under $30,000 rental or probably under $300,000 to $400,000 value will remain in shortage. There were only few micro markets that existed, like JVC, Furjan, Arjan, which are almost all the plots are almost sold out. There may be a handful here and there. It would now depend on the master planning. Some more master communities will come up. Some more plots will be sold. So there is, like, for example, Dubai Creek Harbor out of nowhere, when MR designed such a beautiful community and delivered a portion of it. And a lot of people, I do not like that term. I never liked it even when I was with MR. People call it the new downtown. I don't think it's a new downtown, but it is an amazing community that they've created over there. So that remains as an emerging category at the moment, which would maybe sometime in the future, and which should become as expensive as downtown is today.
And parting thoughts. Aside from the Woodland Residences, of course, what do you think are probably some of the most interesting projects that have come up recently that investors might want to keep an eye on?
My favorite building in Dubai is actually Royal Atlantis. I really think it's the most gorgeous looking building I've seen in Dubai. But from an off-plan point of view, I would strongly recommend investors to keep looking at low-rise. The recent launch in Dubai Hills was very nicely priced. We recently saw Aldar launching a community, and now Miras is launching another community. I think all these communities are going to do really well. Low-rise is underpriced in the market, and it is. It's the numbers that say it. If a high rise and low rise have per square feet similar price, that means low rise has an opportunity to grow further, because the high rise already in those communities is sold at a very low value.
Excellent. Well, Omar, thank you very much for your thoughts. I know you've got, you've got quite a bit of knowledge about the market, and it was fantastic getting to know your thoughts on everything. And you know what? I wish you the very best of luck with the Woodland Residences. From what we've seen, it looks fantastic, and we can't wait to see it complete.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. It means a lot.
And that's it for this episode of the podcast. If you enjoyed this interview, then please do share it with someone else who might find it insightful. And don't forget to hit that subscribe button so you can stay up to date with all of our latest episodes. The Luxury Podcast is available on all major audio streaming platforms, and you can also find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube. The Luxury Podcast is a production of LuxuryProperty.com, an award-winning real estate brokerage that markets the world's finest homes. Visit us on LuxuryProperty.com. And you can also find us on every major social media platform. As always, thank you very much for listening. And remember to always enjoy life's little luxuries.